Yes, it's coffee time. Coffee. Cappuccino. Java. Yes.
Hey, yeah, 25 Henry. We turn you free to check out your voice.
Shalom, shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Coffee Break with myself, Yusuf, and Aaliyah. And it is about time again. And I'm excited for us to be together again this evening. I know that last week we had a really blessed time with you all. And I'm trusting that this week that we're really going to hear what the Father is saying to us. So I pray that your week has been good. I know that we've been busy. We've been doing many different things. And I really pray this evening that as we come together, as we always say this every time that we come, this is an informal time where we just get together and fellowship and share the things that are on our hearts. And this evening, I really feel that what we're going to speak about is important for each one of us within the body. I think each one of us are going to be able to take something out of what we are going to say this evening, as I feel that we've each been through these things, especially through friendships that maybe have been good or friendships that have maybe been bad. So Aaliyah, how are you doing?
I am fine, thank you very much. I hope that everybody can hear me at least, or hear us at least this week, and that everything is working well, and that this Mixler is actually going to be playing with us this evening. So I just wanted to say welcome to everybody. And yes, we do want to be sharing from our hearts this evening, and just like we would as friends have a coffee together, let us enjoy our coffee together. And you know, friendship is important for all of our lives. But sometimes we have friendships that maybe we don't know if we should still have them, or, you know, what do we do about friendships in the body of Messiah? And this evening we want to talk about what I would like to entitle Kingdom Friendships, or how we should have a kingdom mindset on our friendships, on our relationships, and on the things that are important to us where community is concerned. And so, Yusuf, I think before we get into that topic, I would like you to pray for us.
Let's do that. Father, we come to you this evening in the powerful name of Yeshua. And Father, we thank you that you came, Yeshua, that you walked upon this earth and that you were a friend to your disciples, Father. And you said in your word, no greater love has any man than to lay down his life for his friends. And Father, we are your friends if we keep your commandments according to your word. And I pray, Father, this evening that as we get into this discussion and we just talk about, as Aaliyah said, kingdom friendships, Father, that you will really speak to our hearts. I pray, Father, that you will speak to the lives of each and every person that joins us. And Father, that it won't be, oh, okay, let's just hear. But Father, that what is said will penetrate into their hearts. And Father, that they will look at their own lives and their own friendships. Father, whether they have suffered with loss of friendship, or whether they have friends at present, Father, and maybe those friendships that they're finding themselves in have good qualities and at times have bad. How do we evaluate these things, Father? And I pray that this evening we'll come to understand that you want us to have friendships. You want us, Father, to be a community of believers that are able to share with one another through brotherly and sisterly love. And I thank you for that. So, Father, this evening I pray for myself as well as for Aaliyah, Father, as we just speak your truth, Father, to your people, that we will have freedom, Father, to say what needs to be said, and that your love, Father, will be in our hearts, portrayed through our lives to each and every person. So we thank you, Father, for this time in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Now, you know, Yusuf, friendships are very complex. I think that friendships are very complex.
I agree with you.
I don't know about you, but friendships are complex.
Yes.
And I remember when I was in school, I, up until a certain point, I think it was primary school. You know, in primary school where it's, you know, your young years, I would so to say. I don't remember ever having, I had a few problems with friendships, but, you know, my friends were relatively almost stable. I would say, as I was young and you know, in primary school, I had a very good friend that I had grown up with since the age of 2 years old. We were in the same school together. So our friendship was relatively stable. I mean, we were friends, even though we were in the same grade, but we were in different classes. We continued to be friends. We got up to a lot of nonsense together. And at one stage, we were in the same class and we were pretty naughty. So they separated us and I got moved to a different class. And it was a really big thing. But my friendships were relatively stable. You know, she was my friend up until the age of 13 years old. We were best friends, inseparable. And I had another friend that I grew up with that him and I were inseparable, and another friend. And so there was this stability in my life, our friendships. And these three people actually made up my inner circle. I saw them all the time. And they were my friends, really, Yosef, because our parents were friends. Mm-hmm. And you know how that is growing up, right? I mean, the friends that you have are often in your life because they're your parents' friends. Their parents are always with your parents, and you guys are together on the weekends, and everything is really, really cool. But up until that stage, you know, you're still growing. You're still learning. Your emotions are still, you know, okay, because you're still a kid. But then you get to high school. You're 13 years old, and things start to change. Mm. And when I turned 13, all the way throughout my high school years up until a certain point, I had different friends every year, and there was instability in my life. And I think the instability was actually, it didn't really bother me at that time, but I look back on it now and I think to myself, why did I go through that as I got older? And it wasn't really my choice always to have different friends, but it was their choice as well. You know, people choosing you and you choosing them, or people unchoosing you. And that's often where bullying comes in. And I know you and I have both experienced that and experienced that in school. And it was all those difficulties. And then I got to a point in my life where I got to, we have our matric year, which is our final year in school. And I know it works differently in America, but we get to then our standard 9 here, which is when I formed really solid friendships. And I had a really awesome friendship circle, and there were 8 of us, and we were tight. You know, we went through hard times together, good times together, bad times together. And those were great friendships. But when I got saved, I lost all those friends again, and there was an instability, but other people came into my life and took their place. And a lot of those people stayed in my life for many, many years, godly friendships. But friends and friendships are incredibly complex, and it's a place where there can be a lot of hurt as well. And it's a place that can be a lot of good things. And some people in life have friends that they've been friends with for like 20 years, 30 years. And those are blessed friendships because they're lifelong friends. So the topic of friendship this evening that we want to talk about is so, so deep. And what about you? I mean, growing up, did you have those kind of friends? I mean, was your friendships relatively stable, or were you one of those kind of people that had like one or two good friends and like that was it?
You know, Leah, now that you're actually talking like that, and I'm sitting listening to what you're saying, I'm trying to remember. And I remember as a young child, like, there were a few friends here and there. And I think, you know, when you're younger, like you said, you go to your buddy's house or the little boy's house in the school, and you go to the parties, and you seem to have all different kinds of friends. And like you said, because your parents have friends with other maybe family members or people in the school, then you land up going to different people's houses. But those friendships don't always last. Mm. And I remember that as I grew up and I got older, when I was in school, I struggled to build lasting friendships with people because I never trusted people in the school. Because like you said, I wasn't, you know, a very sociable person at school. I used to struggle at school. It wasn't the best place for me as a young young kid growing up, and I used to hate school. So when I went to school, it kind of was, for me, very difficult to make friends with people there. And I was more kind of kept to myself when I was in school. But as I got out of school and I fell into the wrong crowd, that's when, I'll be honest with you, I know it sounds kind of random, but that's where my friendships with people actually got stronger. Mm. And you know, in the wrong way. And that's something I want to talk about this evening too. My friendships were strong, and they were good people, you know, inverted commas. They were good people, but we were doing bad things. So there was this kind of bond together between people of saying, like, hey, you know what, you my brother, you my friend, you know, we'll go down this road together, kind of thing. And it grew, and the friendships were strong, but it was, we were doing the wrong things together. You know, we were doing drugs and we were doing all the bad things. But as I, like you say, when I got saved, all those friends disappeared. Mm. You know, some of them just, you know, thought I was whacking crazy, but others of them I had to cut out of my life. I had to make decisions to say, look, these people are going to be a bad influence in my life. If I keep them in my life, you know, even though I'm saved and I'm now walking the path, it's not going to be beneficial for me to try and build relationships with these people, because they're just not going to get it. Mm. So I decided, and it was a hard thing, but I had to get to the point where I said, Father, you know, I'm not responsible for these people. Yeah. You will work in their lives. They will see the change in me if they bump into me, and then they'll have to, you know, either acknowledge it or not. So there came a point in my life again where I landed up with no friends. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, being in ministry, I think, Aaliyah, it's another whole mm-hmm. different setup, you know, mm-hmm. where friendship is something that I think we all crave, we all desire mm-hmm. friendship, but you got to be so careful who you're friends with. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that we're going to touch on this evening. You know, it's, I have a lot of acquaintances. I have a lot of people that know me. We know a lot of people. A lot of people know us. Mm. But that doesn't mean that you allow every single person that you meet into your inner circle and into your heart, because some people's intentions are not always pure. Mm. People want to be your friend for intentions that are sometimes not of Yahweh. Even though they confess to know Yahweh, their intentions are not always right. And some people operate in a very different spirit. And they don't even realize that maybe what they're doing is actually encroaching upon you and upon the thing that the Father has. And you know, especially in ministry, you got to be careful who you're friends with, because if you make friends too much with people, you get to the point where you're not able to speak Yahweh's truth anymore in the way that He wants you to speak it. So they look at you and go, oh, but you know what? We had coffee together, so maybe He's saying this to me because of this and this and this. Meantime, that's not the point. You're saying it because Yahweh's wanting you to say it. Hmm. So there's a line between the ministry side and then the friendship side that's very, very fine.
You know, I relate to what you said as well. My strongest friendships were in those final 2 years of my school. And those friends that I have, a group of eight, I mean, we were not doing the drugs and stuff, because we didn't do that, but we went clubbing together. We had lots of boyfriends. We had house parties every week. We were doing bad things together, but there was a deep connection that we had to one another that went beyond the bonds of time. And it wasn't that the connections were bad. We were actually deeply invested in each other's lives. I mean, my one friend, her boyfriend committed suicide, and we were all 16, and that is a hard thing to deal with. And she became my closest friend out of the group, and we walked together through that. And so because we were so deeply interested in each other's lives and so deeply invested in one another and in blessing one another and caring for one another in the way that we understood it, not from a faith-based perspective, but from a humanity perspective. And you know, when I also got saved, every single one of them said that you're not fun to be around anymore. And you're different. And so I lost those friendships. But many years later, after being saved for, I think, 3 years, the Father took me back to those friendships in my heart and showed me that I had actually deep soul ties with every single one of them that I needed to cut off, because we had been through so much together. That's another aspect of friendship, Yosef, is that trauma can bond us together. That's and right. Pain can bond us together. And sometimes it's a good thing in the sense of that when we are in Yeshua and we love one another, we care and we walk through a hard time together, it can bond us. But when it's not in Yeshua, it can also bond us, yeah, but not in the correct way. And I had to break off those soul ties with those people. And that was hard. It required, you know, mourning, grief and loss and pain. And it required letting go. Mm. And I think that, you know, Yosef, that this is something that I want to throw out there, that the more you walk with Yeshua and deeper that you go, almost, it seems that friendships get harder.
That's right.
Because you have to walk with a level of discernment, like you're saying. Not everybody comes into your life for a good reason. And it's not just about ministry. It's about life. Right. Not everybody's going to enter your life wanting the best for you. And not everybody's going to enter your life wanting you to reach your destiny or your calling, or even wanting you to be just who you are. Sometimes people come into life and they want to mold you to be their perspective of you or their perception of you. Or sometimes people come into your life, and this is a big thing. People come into our lives and they have the same faith as us, right? They see the Torah and they keep in Torah and they love Yeshua and they do all the same things as you. So you automatically assume that because, you know, you guys have the same faith, maybe you're in the same home group and there's only like 10 of you and the person's the same age as you and they are in the same sort of situation as you are, that automatically you become friends. And I've had that happen to me. And then automatically you become friends with this person because it makes sense, doesn't it? It makes sense because you have the same faith and you maybe have a similar passion. And then you have that first coffee with them outside of the home group and you actually realize that your personalities are so different that you just actually don't really get along. So you can get along in a congregational setting, but outside of that, you actually don't get along. And that is also a big thing. We have to take into account our personalities. Yahweh designed each one of us with a different kind of personality. I know that I am automatically are attracted or magnified to outgoing personality types. And I've had to, in a group or in a big group, I've had to teach myself sometimes to go towards the introvert, to go towards the person. I like have this thing about people that don't talk a lot. Like, not that I want someone to be overbearing and stuff, but the person that hangs back and doesn't talk at all, like, creeps me out. Like, it's scary to me because I'm like, what are they hiding or what? And it's not a bad thing. I am very much in the middle. You know, I'm in the middle of the outgoing and the introvert. I'm totally in the middle. So, but I gravitate. My friends, my closest friends are going to be extroverts. It is because how Yahweh created me. I am an extrovert, so I'm going to have extroverted friends. Whereas with you, you're more of an introvert. And you more have, your friends are more introverts. And you get pretty freaked out with extroverted people because they talk too much and they're crazy. And then you're like, when are you going to give me a chance to speak?
I just want
to run away. And it's because we're so uniquely created, and Yahweh delights in creating us all differently. Whereas you and your introverted friends will go out for coffee and you'll be home like an hour later. And I'll be like, why were you home like an hour later? Because, you know, when, particularly when females go out, it's like 3 hours, 4 hours. You're like, yeah, but we said everything we needed to say. And it's just our different personalities that we have to take into account. So we shouldn't feel guilty that if someone comes into our space that has the same faith as us, or maybe a similar passion, maybe, and we don't kind of feel like we have to pursue a friendship, we shouldn't feel bad or guilty about that. It just means we're brothers and sisters in the faith, but we're not supposed to have a deep friendship.
That's right. You know, Leah, you said something about, we were talking about, you know, worldly friendships and before we were saved, and how those friendships and how people in those friendships valued friendship. Mm. And I find that it shouldn't be that way. It should be the opposite. You know, as people in Messiah Yeshua, we should value friendships above anything else.
Mm.
You know, Yahweh wants us to have friendships. And throughout the scriptures, we see, like in the book of Proverbs, that we're going to look at a bit later on this evening, throughout some of the life stories of you know, men and women throughout the scriptures, we see how there were godly friendships that formed and how it was a good thing.
Mm.
And I've come to realize that in the body of Messiah Yeshua, that people are scared to make friends because of past hurts, because of things maybe that happened in their previous congregations. So walls go up. And what I mean by this is that when you look at people in the world, you know, when you look at even, you know, you watch a movie maybe, or you see how things are in the world set up, people value friendships. Friendship is a thing that they value very much. And you know, you get yeah, in South Africa, you see, even, you know, your parents, if I can use them as example, you know, Lauren's parents has friends, her father has friends from way back, from so many years. And whenever we go to their house, then their friends will be there. And I look at it and I think to myself, this is how it's supposed to be. They are so connected to one another, and they've come from when they were in school together, and they're still friends in their, you know, in their 60s now. And this is what I mean about how the world sees friendship. They see it in the light, not necessarily maybe in the biblical light, but they see it with great value. That if we're going to be friends, I want to invest in your life and you need to invest in mine. And you know, if we don't get along and things blow up in our faces, we'll sit down and we'll talk about it. But in the body of Yeshua today, it's kind of like, well, I don't get on with you. You don't see eye to eye with me, so I'm just going to bail. And we never ever speak to one another again. But the Father says that we are to have this, how do I say this? I wouldn't say that, like Elias said, we can't be friends with everybody, but we still need to show each other respect within the community. That's something that we really need to do.
And you know, Yosef, just to touch on what you said about my parents' friends, you know, my parents are incredibly sociable and they have always had really good friends throughout the years. And you know, my father had two specific really great friends growing up, and there came a point in their lives where, you know, another person was added into the mix. And this person didn't have a great intention for everybody and started to do things behind people's backs, and it broke up a friendship that was 35 years old. And that breakup lasted for 20 years. And that was really sad. And now with my father, you know, he had the heart operation in October. These two friends, you know, not the third one that had caused the problems. These two friends, and I want to testify to this, because these two friends came over to my father's house. Now, they haven't seen each other in 20 years. I last saw them when I was 13 years old. So now I just told you how old I am. So I haven't seen these people in 20 years. So they come over to my parents' house and they come to see my dad. My dad's going for a heart operation. And I think it's normally those moments and times where we realize the depth of friendship and we realize how much we've lost. And you know, these two people came over to my dad and they sat and they spoke and they cried together for real. My mom was telling me they cried and they said, what happened and how did we allow this to happen and why? And this other person that had caused the problem said he wants to meet with all of them because he wanted to apologize. So my dad got in the car and all of these old friends drove for over an hour to this other man and he apologized to them. I mean, this is reconciliation. Right. He apologized. He looked them in the faces. He said he was sorry. He said that he realized what he had done. They spent the whole day there. They were drinking their whatever's together and they had made peace. And now my dad's got his friends back. And every single Friday morning, they go out together and they have lunch together. And we were by my parents' house just the other day for my niece's 1 year birthday party. And my dad's friends were there. And for me, I wanna testify to this. For me, I remember these guys when I was 13. You know, I remember them when they were like in their early 40s. You know, now they're in their 60s and they're all gray and they're all retired. And here they all sit. And it's kind of like that old movie Going in Style, you know. These three men that are sitting there like the Three Stooges, and they love each other, and they actually just drew away. Do you remember, Yosef? The three of them just drew away from everybody else. There were so many people at my parents' house, and they went to go sit on their own, and they were chatting. And then it was time to eat, and we were all salivating. We were all starving. And I see my dad, and he goes inside, and he's dishing up. And I'm like, oh, great. Because normally he actually does dish up for me first, right? So my dad's inside, he's dishing up, and I see him. He doesn't care about anybody. He's taking two plates out to his friends and he feeds them first, and they are finished eating and none of us are even eating yet. I mean, that's friendship. Come on. Yosef, that is some serious friendship. I was like, Dad, what are you doing? Like, where's our food? I'm starving. He didn't even talk. He didn't even answer me. He was just concerned that his friends ate first. They had the best of the meat in the pot. They had the best of the potatoes, the best of the bread, and the best of the rice, and the best of the veggies. They had everything. And my father had cooked it all, so he knew what was the best of it. And I think that that ministers to me about friendship, Yosef, that possibly when we have friends, that Yahweh is really brought into our lives, and that we really should have, we have to give them the best. We have to give them commitment and loyalty and honesty and trust. We have to give them so many, many deep things of ourselves.
Amen. You know, Leah, there's something that you know, when we talk about friends, I want to throw it, you know, around and look at it from a different perspective. Why do you think, you know, why is it that people seem to be cautious today about getting into friendships? Mm. You know, I've noticed how people have become so cautious in what they say or when they say it or how they get emotionally involved in friendships within the body. And one of the things that really struck me is I think that people fear. They fear that maybe this friendship is going to be temporary. Maybe if I tell the person too much, they're going to judge me. Maybe if I tell them my background and where I come from, then, you know, it's going to become a big thing in this community. So it's better for me to put my guard up continually until the time that you know, I feel comfortable, which is okay. But at the same time, it's almost like people are cautious today to build lasting friendships with other people. The other thing that I've noticed too is that people are, especially younger people, the younger generation today, and it's creeping, I have to be honest, it's creeping into the older generation too. We're becoming socially awkward with one another in the sense of we are more interested in social media. You know, it's easier for me to tell you, hey, you know what, I love you, my friend, or hey, you know what, I care for you, through a message or a text or through a Facebook post, than it is actually to come and sit down with you for, like you said, 3 to 4 hours, have coffee, chat about all the things that we need to talk about. So instead, it's kind of like, you know what, I'll just do it over social media. I'll just send you a little smiley face, or I'll just send you an email. But we've got so social media focused that we've forgotten what true friendship is really about. Mm-hmm. And now maybe you're listening and you're saying, well, what's that got to do with, you know, the body? It's got everything to do with the body of Messiah Yeshua. It's got everything also to do with how the Father wants us to function as His kingdom, so that we can, as His children in His kingdom, so that we can advance His kingdom. How am I supposed to work with another person in the kingdom if I can't even build a friendship with a person? Mm. Or if I don't even know what it actually means to value friendship? If I can't value friendship with other people, how am I going to advance Yahweh's kingdom? How am I going to reach out to the needy? How am I going to reach out to the lost if I'm still struggling with my own things in my own life? I'll have walls up. And the problem today, why people are not going out and doing the Great Commission or doing the things that Yeshua wants, is because we are living in this environment or in this society where it's social media. You better put up your walls because everybody's going to hurt you. That's what everything is nowadays on the news. Put your walls up because you know what? You can't trust anybody, which is a lie. We shouldn't live like that. You know, we shouldn't always have our walls up, and we should learn that friendship in the body of Messiah Yeshua is a, how do I say, it's kind of like a glue that holds us together. Godly friendships. And we're not talking only tonight about friendship between male and male, female and female. We're talking about godly friendships between male and female, and male, female, and female too. And I think people get freaked out and they're like, yeah, but you know, I got to be cautious around women. Yes, you got to be cautious around women, and women got to be cautious around men, but it shouldn't be like that. Yeah. We shouldn't be like that one to another. We should see our sister in the way that Yahweh sees her, not looking at her with like wrong intentions or bad vibes or whatever. We should be looking at one another with godly love, looking at them as you would look and cherish your own sister in the flesh.
You know, Yosef, I just want to shout a big amen, hallelujah, because someone once said to me that they're a female and they're married and they have wonderful male friendships. Yes. And she said to me that the enemy has twisted this. This was not how Yahweh didn't want us to be so exclusive that we don't have great men friendships or great woman friendship, because what? It's going to be sinful. It's not going to be sinful. No. It's not going to be adulterous. That is a heart issue. That is a hot issue. And Yosef, I remember when we left America this last time in December, and I had to say, and there were two people that dropped us off at that hotel, and two men that were so amazing to into our lives that have become friends, you know. And I remember weeping. I felt like David was weeping over Jonathan when I said goodbye to them, because I was weeping because of the love that I have for them. And because at that moment, I also thought, are we ever going to actually see each other again? What is Yahweh have for our lives and our destinies together as people? And I was weeping and weeping like crazy, and they were crying, and we were telling each other, I love you. And it's not because it was a bad thing. It was a real, real pureness of heart. This is how Yahweh wants us to be. We're connected. We love each other. We're friends. We're respecting each other. And it's not just we're part of the body. Come on. How big is the body? What, a couple of million people in the world? We're not all going to feel that way about one another. It's not just I'm weeping on your neck like David did because you're my brother or you're my sister. No, but because I have a connection with you, because we formed a friendship, because we've spent time together, because we've told each other I value you, because we really put ourselves out there for one another. And as much as we put ourselves out there, they put themselves out there for us, going into uncomfortable situations and doing things that were hard. And so we sacrificed and made a commitment to this relationship that we've formed. And we should, and I want to say that I want Yosef, I want to, even in this moment, I want to permit us, all of us that are listening, all the people that are listening, permit that reality in our lives and to speak that freedom into our lives, because we've become so bound. It's like people that are bound with the fear of pride. Even fear of pride can be, I'm using this as an example, some people never want to reach their destiny because Yahweh has a great thing for them, has a rulership position for them, and they go, no, I don't want that, because what if it goes to my head, what if I get proud and I get full of pride and I whatever. You know, the only way that that can happen is if our hearts are wrong. And the fear of pride can prevent us from reaching our destiny. Same as the fear of having good friendships can prevent us from ever having the friendships that Yahweh wants us to actually have in our lives, be it with men that are godly, be it with women that are godly, and to have a whole mixture of diverse relationships in our lives makes us stronger people.
Amen. You know, Leah, I was reading the book of Proverbs before we started the broadcast, and one thing that really stood out to me was I was looking for, you know, places in the scripture where it talks about godly friendships. And I came to realize that the book of Proverbs is all about godly friendships. Everything in Proverbs, the majority of what has been said in the book of Proverbs, is about godly friendships and bad friendships. It's like, stay away from a person like this, but yeah, make sure you get a friend like that. And you know, one thing that really, really stuck out to me is that faithful friendships, according to the writer of the book of Proverbs, he says that faithful friendships is a hard thing to find, and it should be highly valued. Finding a friend that is faithful to you, that you can cry on their shoulder, that you can tell them your deep, darkest secret, knowing that they will keep it to themselves and not share it with the entire world. Such a friend is to be highly valued. And you know, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6 says, many will say they are loyal friends, but who can find one that is truly faithful? Brothers and sisters, this evening, as we go to a music break, I really want you...
I don't even think that we should do this music break. Look at us. We could do a conference about friendships, Yosef. I mean, we've been going for like half an hour, and we actually haven't even touched on the surface of what we were... We are not going to a song. You know why? Because we'll play a song right at the end when there's prayer requests. I just feel like Yahweh wants us just to keep ministering this word.
Let's do that.
So let's just keep ministering this word, because we do the coffee break for an hour. We've been going for half an hour. We haven't even touched the surface. We haven't even got to it yet.
Praise Yahweh.
So praise Yahweh, right? We should have a conference about friendships. Maybe it's in our destiny. Let's keep going. And right at the end, when we do the prayer thing, we can do the song.
You know, I'm just reminded now as well of that scripture in John chapter 15 and verse 3 that says, greater love hath no man than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. Do we really actually understand what is being said there? Greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. To lay your life down. But you know, this scripture, Leah, has been so twisted by so many people, because you know, people will come into your life and they'll be walking by another spirit. Then they'll come to you and they'll say to you, "Hey, but you know what, brother? The scripture says no greater love hath any man than to lay down his life for his friends. So you know what? I need your help today." And then they'll come for counseling today, they'll come for counseling tomorrow, and they'll land up phoning you at 1-2 a.m. in the morning, not for counseling, just because they are codependent upon you. So we need to be careful about who, and this is in the context of what he's saying. He's saying godly love is to lay your life down for your friend. But we have to understand that even in the scriptures, there is boundaries that Yahweh talks about. Amen. That we have to have spiritual and godly boundaries in our lives. And, you know, I want to read a scripture to you, and it's found in the book of Proverbs. And I just need to go there. But in Proverbs, it tells us, like I said, it talks about godly friendships. But then he also warns us, and he says, you know, you got to have boundaries. Because if you don't have boundaries, then that's when problems come in, Leah. That's why, because we haven't set boundaries, that's why there's bad relationships between male and female friends, or between people in general, because we haven't set godly boundaries and said, you know what, this is my boundary line. You cannot overstep it. Because let's be honest, some people are soft-hearted. Other people are very dominant on others. So sometimes you'll find friends that are matched together, and one will be dominant and the other one will be soft-hearted, if that's the way that I can put it. And the soft, or you'll find two people that are soft-hearted, or you'll find, it just depends. And the problem in friendships is that we have to learn who the other person is, and we have to value that, but we also can't allow a dominant person to override a soft-hearted person. And we also can't allow the soft-hearted person always to be soft-hearted in every situation. And then when the dominant person is saying, "Hey, you know what, let's do this," then the soft-hearted person might feel in their heart, "Hey, you know what, buddy, I don't feel like doing like that today. I don't want to do that." But instead of then giving their opinion, because the dominant person might say something, then they say, "Hey, you know what, it's okay. Let's do it."
Just comply.
So then eventually our friendship is just becoming what? Complying to one another. That's not friendship. That's not how Yahweh wants it to be. We need to learn each other's values. And we also need to learn what kind of person my friend is. And I should have the freedom to say to my friend, "Listen, yeah, dude, I'm not going to be able to make it today for coffee because I'm not feeling like it. I don't want to come because I just want to stay at home." I should be able to say that. But you get what I'm saying? Yeah, and there shouldn't be this thing of like, we should be able to speak to one another. That's what it means. But at the same time, our friendships should be building one another up, not in what I need or what I want. It should be what I need. Let me rephrase that. I'm thinking while I'm speaking. It should be that so often, as it is sometimes in relationships, you know, like boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, the relationship gets to the point where it's about what I can get, not what I can give. Or what is this that we should be doing together? So it's all about how much I can get and not about what I can give. Friendships are just like that. We need to learn to give to each other's needs, but also to build one another up. We can't just keep sucking from one another.
You know, Yosef, are you going to read the scripture to us? Because I want to go into scripture quite deeply.
Right.
And I don't want to go into it until you've read
verse 17 says, "Let your foot really be in your neighbor's house, or he will become wary of you and hate you."
Oh, wow.
So what does that mean? We have to have boundaries, right? There have to be boundaries. I can't just go to my friend's house every single day and just put my foot into his house. You know, there's an old saying that says, my dad likes to use this saying.
Yeah, stinky fish.
Stinky fish, right? fish gets stinky after 3 days. And this is what it's saying. There needs to be boundaries, but not only boundaries in the sense of who comes in and out of your house. You also have to have boundaries on things like who you allow in your life, who you don't allow, what kind of information you're going to share and what information you're going to keep.
Yes.
The boundaries that you set also have to be kind of, if you feel that you can't give into that area of a friend's life, then set a boundary in that area and say, look, you encroaching in that area. So let's deal with it and let's move on so that the friendship can be preserved.
Mm.
Because oftentimes some people don't understand where you're coming from. They don't understand your past. They don't understand the hurts, your family life and things like that. Mm. And they might be a good friend, but they don't understand. And then they say things and they're actually overstepping their boundary.
You know, Yosef, I once, when I read that scripture, felt really bad because I did that to someone once many, many donkeys years ago, way before you and I met or anything. The trouble at that stage of my life was that I was going through a really, really hard time in my life. I was very broken. I was very wounded in an area in my life. And I had a friend that was amazing and that was kind of more like, it was a friend, but like a almost like a spiritual mom, you know, that was there for me. And I literally pitched up on her doorstep every single day and I would stay till like 1-2 o'clock in the morning. And I realized after that and once reading the scripture, I am not ashamed
to
say, I am not ashamed to say that that is what I did. Okay. Because that is the thing. I needed her in my life at that stage and I was a real broken person. And, you know, she made one or two comments once, like, you know, like, you can't come and stay here by my house, like forever kind of thing. And I would just be like, okay. And then I would just stay by her house. But the truth was that I was really broken and hurting. And that can also happen, you know, that you can be, a person can be in a place and we shouldn't be ashamed to say, I'm not ashamed to say that that's what I want. And bless her soul. I mean, Auntie D is no longer here with us anymore, and she was the woman I did it to. So she's with Yeshua now. But you know, I was
sure it wasn't because you were there. All
you know, she may have an extra reward in heaven because of how she was. I know that she has an extra reward in heaven because she let me stay by her house till 2 o'clock, and she was a nurse. She worked in a hospital, so I mean, her shifts were crazy. Bless her. So you know. Well, I actually read this scripture many years after I had sat in a house and I repented. I said, Yahweh, I'm so sorry because I needed her. And Yosef, that's the other part of it. Sometimes our friends can become overbearing simply because they're actually just hurting. But I want to read something to you. I'm not even going to read it.
But you know, Leah, before you before you go there, you know, I'm just thinking about something. Sometimes, you know, have you ever, maybe you guys listening, maybe you got one of those friends that just seems to always phone you up and say, like, you know, let's go for coffee. And then in your good heartedness, you decide to go for coffee and then you land up sitting there and nothing that you all want to share ever comes out of your mouth. Because, you know, we need to be cautious. Sometimes people's intentions are to get you to a place just to offload upon you. And that's why we need to have boundaries, because it's like that. People are hurting. People have pain. People want to talk. And we need to be transparent with one another and be truthful and say, hey, you know what? I'm really down in the dumps. Or, hey, you know what? I'm really hurting. Let's go for coffee, but I really need to speak to you. Don't be, hey, you know what, guy or friend, let's just go for coffee. And then the other
and sometimes
person,
they're like, well, I'll pay for you.
Yeah. Or let's go out for lunch. I'll pay for you. And then you think, oh, okay, we're going for lunch. And then you land up sitting, having a long conversation about the other person. But, you know, we have to lend an ear. But it has to be done in the right way, because the person that has asked you to meet with them doesn't know. Maybe you at the present time are also going through a struggle.
Mm.
So it's important for us to be transparent with one another about where we're at. That's why it's friendships is so important, because true friends know one another. True friends can sense what's going on in each other's lives. And because the walls are broken down and there's a freedom to be able to speak to one another. But this takes time.
That takes time. And, you know, we've been talking about the pitfalls and the boundaries. But I want to talk about something that's like the meaning behind our friendship, the way that we should be. Jonathan and David. I mean, epic, epic, epic story, an epic portrayal, an epic reality of how we should be and the kind of friends that we should be. And I encourage you to read 1 Samuel chapter 18 through to 20. But all I'm going to do is read you a very short section. And it says, when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was bound to the soul of David, so that Jonathan loved David even as he loved himself. Saul took him that day and would not permit David to return to his father's house. So then Jonathan and David made a covenant. So Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that he had on. He gave it to David. He gave him his battle tunic. He gave him his sword, his bow, and his belt. Now, you know, this is the moment where David and Jonathan are basically connected together. And there's so many amazing things that you see throughout the life of Jonathan and David. Now, a lot of things have been said about this. You know, a lot of again, the twisting of scripture and the perversities in people's minds of, oh, why are they so deeply connected? Why are they loving each other like this? Why are they making covenants? Why are they doing all this stuff? It's because we have here a real picture of a very, very deep friendship that's happening, where two people are actually connected together. And there's so many things that Jonathan actually does for David in such a magnificent ways. And you know, Jonathan, you know what they did for each other? They firstly, Jonathan equipped David. He's given him everything here. He's basically on a deeper level. You know, Jonathan was heir to the throne of Israel because Saul was his father, the king. But Yahweh had chosen David as the king. And Jonathan did recognize that. And Saul is so angry later on. Then he actually says to Jonathan, as long as the son of Jesse is alive, you will never have this throne. And Jonathan says to him, but why should you be angry with him? Jonathan actually doesn't care about that. He's not about himself in the situation. His destiny is something else. And he knows that. And he doesn't have a worry about it. He's not jealous. He's not envious. He doesn't want what is rightfully David's. He wants what is his own. And Jonathan wants a family. And that's a big thing that we see coming throughout the scripture, because he continually says to David that if anything has to happen to him, David is to be good to his family, good to Jonathan's family. And I believe that was because Jonathan was pretty much a family man. And you see that because he's always trying to connect Saul and David. He's always trying to unify. He's always trying to keep the peace. He's always trying to have a strong family that's happy. I mean, David is also his, you know, brother-in-law. David is married to Michal, who is Jonathan's sister. So he's trying to have a happy family. He's like, we're all good, guys. We're all going to sit around the fire. We're going to sing Kumbaya. We're going to love each other. He's all about that, you know. But he equips David, and he stabilizes David. I mean, David is quite an emotional character. Jonathan comes across as being very almost stable. He's almost very calm. Every time Saul's ugly and nasty, he's like, Dad, why should you be angry? Come on, why should you be angry? Let's think about this logically. David hasn't done anything wrong. He's always like so calm. He's so balanced. And he also stabilizes David because David is very emotional. He also helps move David towards his destiny. And that is a big thing about friendships, Yosef, that if we're going to have kingdom friendships, we have to help move our friend that we love and that we care about towards their destiny. And that involves sometimes saying the things that they don't want to hear. Sure. And sometimes telling them the truth, but with love, not brash, not without tact, not harmful to break down their soul or to burden their spirit. No, we help move them towards their destiny. You know, Jonathan also interpreted events for David. He interpreted that his father was angry. They go to the meal, the new moon feast later on, and he keeps saying to David, I'm going to check this out. I'm going to see how my father really feels. If this is bad, I'm going to interpret it. I'm going to tell you, and then you need to leave because your life is in danger. So he's interpreting events with the desire to protect David. He's loyal. He shows a loyalty and an honesty and a trust that far supersedes so much. And he's not jealous. He loves David. He counsels him. He takes care of him. He's loyal. And you know what? He's concerned that David is going to reach his destiny. That is Jonathan's concern. He wants David to reach his destiny. And you know, possibly at the forefront of Jonathan's mind is this desire, like I said, to have Saul and David reconciled so that everybody can live in harmony and live in a place where they can have joy and peace together as a family. So we see this friendship, and I encourage you yourself that if friendship is a burden on your heart and it's something that you want to look at more, study more, or know even for your own life, how do I go about my friendships? I encourage you to read the story of Jonathan and David, 1 Samuel 18 to chapter 20, and look at it and say, Yahweh, what is it that you're trying to tell me? Because when I was reading this story, it really hit me that I want to be that friend too. I want to help my friends reach towards their destiny. And someone once said that we shouldn't love our friendship more than we love our friend. And what that means is sometimes we want to protect the friendship. And so we don't say the things that we should say. We don't tell them that you're heading towards something that's wrong for you. You're walking away from Yahweh's destiny. You're ignoring the word that was spoken over your life. You are not living righteously. You want to date that guy? That guy is not saved. He is not for you. We want to protect the friendship. So much so that we won't tell our friend what's important. But we need to value our friend more than we value the friendship itself. In the sense of a friendship works all both ways. But when you really, really love a friend, you will say to him, you know what? And you say it with love and you say it with truth, that that's maybe not a good thing for you. Yosef, a lot of people can't handle that. And a lot of people, when you're honest with them, can't handle the truth. And it's just a reality. But if we truly love each other, and this is what I've realized, even in a relationship with Yeshua, if I trust Yeshua and I love him and I know that everything that he is loving and everything that is amazing to me, then I can take it from him. If he says to me, my child, this thing is not good for you, I can go, okay, because I trust him and I know that it's coming from love and I know that it's coming from truth and I know that it's coming from so much goodness. If your friend knows and understands your heart is good towards them and loving towards them, they will be able to take what you say when you say, hey, you're not really walking towards your destiny. You need to really be thinking and praying. Are you thinking and praying about this? Are you praying about that relationship? Are you praying about this thing? They should know that you've got their best interests at mind and at heart. And David and Jonathan shows us how. And you know, it's actually quite sad in chapter 20 of 1 Samuel that, you know, Jonathan and David are split apart. Their friendship is split up. Because Saul wants to kill David and Jonathan tells David, you need to leave and you need to go because this is not good. My father actually wants to kill you. And it says that David wept like crazy and he was just inconsolable because I think that he knew in his heart that perhaps they wouldn't see each other again. And they didn't. You know, Jonathan and Saul died together in battle. But David keeps the word that he spoke to his friend. And because of the love that he had for Jonathan, it says that he was kind to Jonathan's family and that he kept the covenant they made. So it was a friendship that superseded even the limitations of the earth. Even though Jonathan wasn't there anymore with him physically, he still honored him even in his absence. And that's a part of loving friendship.
That's so true. You know, Ilya, you mentioned something, and I want to ask a question this evening to those of you listening. You know, we've spoken now about godly friendships, but what about holding on to ungodly friendships? You know, even after Yeshua has maybe come and told you that this isn't a good friendship to be in, and then exactly as Ilya said, we want to guard the friendship, but we know that the friend is not right. In other words, we know that Yahweh has said it's now time that you move away from this friend because it's actually just breaking you down. And you know, the Bible tells us that they are not that they are, but it tells us that not everyone should be your friend because the Bible says that evil company corrupts good habits. And I'm not saying that maybe your friends are evil, but what happens is people make their own choices. People choose to walk down their own path. And sometimes, as I've said in many teachings, there is a good way that seems good, and then there is the God way. And we think that just because somebody is doing the good thing, that they are walking with Yahweh. And then we get yoked with those people, but it's not a godly friendship. It's not what the Father wants. So we need to be obedient to his voice and we need to listen to what he says. And it's a hard thing sometimes to cut off a friendship and to trust the Father that he knows better and to move away from people. Because if we stay with them, it's only going to corrupt us and it's only going to cause us to go to ruin. And it says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Mm. You know, sometimes I know that in my life, before I was saved, I had friends that, you know, some friends had so many friends, and they were kind of always had to be people that were the center of attention, and they would be friends with anybody, and they would be, you know, want to be the person around everybody. And that's not a godly trait to have all the time, because, you know, a man with many companions may come to ruin. And you cannot be best friends with every single person in your mm-hmm. life. It just doesn't happen. And, you know, there was something that was in my mind as I read through Proverbs 2. And what the Bible tells us is it says that iron sharpens iron. But it also says in Proverbs the following. It says, oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. And what this really spoke to me about, Elia, is that the sweetness of a friend comes from the counsel that comes from that friend's heart to you. And sometimes we just want to get the sweet things, and we don't necessarily always want to hear the iron sharpens iron part that comes out of the mouths of our friends. And it's when our friend is telling us those things, as the Bible says, that we get sharpened together and our friendship grows. And sometimes that's when people bail. People bail when the friend says, listen, brother, I know that you love me. I know that we're friends. But this relationship that you're in with this girl maybe is not a good thing. Or maybe you turn to your friend and you say, listen here, brother, I see that you were fired up with Yahweh and now you're not. What's going on? And if a person is in a bad place and they don't want to receive what you're saying to them, they're going to get angry and they're going to sever that friendship. But we need to stay the course and do what the Father tells us to do. And there's just three other things that was on my heart, Elia, that I feel is very important in a friendship. One is consistency. We need to be consistent in our friendships. Mm-hmm. You know, I've met so many people, Elia, that today they're your friend and then you won't hear from them again for months. Mm-hmm. Or you won't hear from them again for like 6 months.
Oh, boy,
And the Bible tells us that we need to be consistent in our friendships one to another. There's this lie that people say that goes like something like this. You know, brother, I can be away from you for 6 months, but you know, when I see you, I can just pick up again exactly where we left off. That's a lie. Mm. And that's not a godly way of looking at friendships. It's not meaning that, hey, you know what, we need to message every day to one another, because the truth of the matter is that some of us are married. Others of us, you know, we're busy at work, so we can't always be attending to our friendships. But it shouldn't be that we speak to one another once every 6 months. That's not how it should be. No. We should be consistent. And not only consistent in communication, but consistent in prayer for our friends. We should be praying for our friends. We should be lifting them up before the Father and asking Yahweh what it is that Yahweh wants from us. And that's very, very important to understand. The other thing is that we should learn to walk in forgiveness one to another. We should learn to forgive our friends when it's necessary. And the last thing that was on my heart is mutual respect. There must be mutual respect between one another.
Mm, I absolutely agree. I think that we could really, really, really speak about friendships for a very, very long time. But I would like us now to go to the song. And I would really love us to play The Purest Place, because that's a very beautiful song. But before we do that, I really pray that this broadcast has blessed you and that it has invested in a part of your life where maybe it's good to talk about, or maybe you need some investment in, or maybe you're thinking about something, or you have a friend that you want to do more for, or you have a friend that you feel uncomfortable with. We just pray that it will be such a blessing to you and that this broadcast will truly minister to you. And so we also now want to make time for prayer requests. Please, I would like to ask and urge you that if you do have a prayer request, I would like to ask you, you know, the songs that we play are about 4 to 5 minutes long. You need to put the prayer request in there while the song is playing, because once the song finishes and we go to prayer time, it's very, very difficult for us to look at the screen and also be praying and trying to remember the prayer requests and have it in our minds and to be praying and in Yahweh's Ruach. So please, if you do have a prayer request, please don't wait. Please put it down there and just put it there. And if we're there to pray, we will pray for you. So bless you. May you enjoy the song, The Purest Place, by who's the singer?
It's by Watermark, The Purest Place.
By Watermark. So yeah. Enjoy.
Mm-hmm. father's boast in fame and gold. The purest place is where I'll go. The purest place, how will draw near. Do what it takes to keep me here in the same.
Shalom again, everybody, and I just want to say that it was really blessed to be with you all this evening, and I pray that the Father will speak to you as we just have a time of prayer, and I just pray that as we do that, that Yahweh will really just minister to your heart in Yeshua's name. So, Father, I just really want to lift up this evening, Father, our sister Ariella. Father, I want to lift up to you and thank you, Father, that she has been persistent, Father, with you. And Yahweh, that you said in your word, Father, that as we come to you, Yahweh, that you are faithful and just, Father, to do these things on our behalf. So, Father, we want to pray over her in her physical body this evening. And, Father, we lift her up to you in the name of Yeshua. And, Father, we pray that the blood of Messiah Yeshua, which we know, Father, covers all things. We pray, Father, in the name of Yeshua, Father, that when she goes to see the specialist, Father, that there will be no sign of cancer, that there will be no problems in her body. And, Father, whatever the problem is, that it will be able to be rectified without a great lot of pain, without a great lot of surgery and things like that. Father, we know that you are still the God that does miracles. And we pray in the name of Yeshua, Father, that you will speak to our sister and just give her peace in this time. As Father, we know that it's not always fun to go and have to see specialists and go and see doctors and things like that. But I pray, Father, for your shalom to be upon her in Yeshua's name. Father, we also want to just pray this evening, Father, for each and every person that has joined us. Father, I pray that in our friendships, Father, that we will have godly friendships. Father, that in our friendships, you will be glorified and exalted. And Father, that we will learn to love one another, that we will learn, Father, to set godly boundaries, but also, Father, to pursue the relationships in the lives of others, Father, that you bring into our lives. Help us to have discernment, to be able to know, Father, who you want us to invest our time, our energy, our lives with, so that we can better advance your kingdom. And Father, I believe that you are the orchestrator of all things, that you do things, Father, on our behalf. If we walk in your ways, Father, then you will bless and keep us. And I pray for that this evening in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Father, I just want to lift Anya up to you this evening, Father, as this request that she has put here for a friend, Father, a longing for a good friendship, Father, for so many years. And I know, Father, that is her heart's desire, Father, but she hasn't found one yet. So, Father, I pray by your grace and by your mercy, Father, it's a comforting to know, Father, that many of us actually feel this way, Father. Many of us don't say that, but Father, with faith this evening, she has come before you and said that. And Father, I pray that you will bring the right people into her life, Father, the right female friend into her life, Father, to build a lasting friendship, Father, someone that she can share the hard times with, the good times with, Father, confusing times, the great times with, Father. And I really pray that you'll bless and keep her, Father. I thank you this evening, Father, that so even inside my spirit, Father, I sense that, Father, she's lifted up her heart to you, Father, and has a pure heart, Father. And I pray a blessing over her, Father, because the pure in heart, for theirs is your kingdom, Father, your kingdom is for those with pure hearts. And Father, I pray this evening that you will bless her, keep her, make your face to shine upon her. Father, I pray that you'll protect her from any friendship that comes into her life that will be negative, Father, but that she will see that friendship, Father, be it one or two, Father, that you'll bring into her life so that she, Father, can pursue that friendship with godliness and goodness, and that it will bear much fruit in her life and in the life of the other person, Father. We thank you this evening that you are good, Father, and that you want to establish good friendships in our lives, Father. It's part of your plan and your will. So I pray for each and every single person that's sitting here that maybe has an unspoken request. Father, we know that loneliness, Father, is the disease of our time, Father, and depression, Father, is the disease, Father, that we struggle with today, Father. The fact that, yes, we have social media and technology, but we don't have what is really in front of us. And that is, Father, someone to hold our hand, someone to go through things with us. And Father, how we all long for that, Father, someone who is loyal and trustworthy. I pray that when your time is right, Abba, Father, that you will bring those people into our hearts and lives. Not people are going to hurt us, Father, not people that are going to let us down, but Father, not people that are going to be toxic for us or make promises and don't keep them, but Father, true lasting friendships that are so deep, Father, and that will be heart friends, Father, forever friends, Father. I know if you did that for my parents, that you can do it so much more for us, Father, as we cry out to you this evening. I pray a blessing over each and every single person that's here and that has come, Father, just to fellowship together. May you bless them, Yeshua. May you keep them. May you make your glorious face shine upon all of us this week. And Yeshua, we just praise you, and we pray this in your mighty name. Amen.
Father, we just want to lift up Bianca to you this evening too, Father. And we know, Yahweh, the work that you have done in Bianca's life and that you are continuing to do in her life. And Father, I really feel this evening that you're saying to her, Father, that it's you that opens a door that no man will be able to shut. And when you shut a door, Father, no man is able to open it. And I want to pray, Father, that as she seeks you for direction for her life, as she desires, Father, to serve you, to serve your body, Father, to serve people in general, out in the world, Father, and in her community, I pray, Yahweh, that you will give unto her, Father, the direction that she needs. And Father, that there will be no confusion over her mind, that when you speak to her, Father, that it won't be a question of, is this Yahweh or not, but that she will know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Father, that it is you that is speaking to her. As your word says, Father, whether we step to the left or to the right, I pray in the name of Yeshua that Bianca will always hear your voice, knowing this is the way in which she needs to go. Father, we know that sometimes our seasons, Father, is not the same as your seasons. Father, we like to rush things. We like to run ahead. But I pray, Father, that she will remain in your time. And Father, that when you decide to speed it up, that she will understand. And if you decide, Father, to slow it down, that she'll also understand. But that she'll remain faithful and expectant, Father, for what you want to do in her life. I know, Father, that you will bless her and that you've got great plans for her. And we thank you for her in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. You know, Yusuf, I just remembered this picture, this cartoon actually that I saw a few years ago with a man busy hugging his computer screen and all these little hearts coming out. And it said at the bottom, I love my computer because my friends live inside of it. So tonight we want to give the computer screen a big hug, knowing that our friends are living inside of it. So thank you to each and every single one of you. And Shavua Tov from us to you. We pray that you will have a fantastic, fabulous, awesome week, and that we love this fellowship with you. So may you be blessed. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you next week for a wonderful cup of coffee.
We're going to be playing out this evening with a song by The Belonging Company. It's called Fall Afresh, and I pray that it will really bless you. Also, please take note that at present, I don't know for what reason, critters are around, but it seems that we're just having a bit of a database issue on our website. So the website's there, but you're unable to sign in at the moment until we fix it. So we will put out this teaching. We'll send it out via email instead so that you can link to it and then be able to listen to it. But as soon as we fixed it, we'll let you know via email, and it shouldn't be long. It's just that over the weekend in South Africa, we don't have 24/7 internet gurus. So as soon as we back Monday, we should get it fixed, and then everything should be back in order. So be blessed with the song, and I pray, may Yahweh bless you and keep you. Shalom.
worship.